The psalmist prays, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I was told of my ways, Lord, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." Lord, we pray that in our time together this morning, you would help us, even as the psalmist prays, to run after your ways as we see them revealed in your word, for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can take your seats. Good morning. Thanks for making it bright and early today. Slide back a little bit so you don't have to look up at me. All right, as promised, we're starting off with another giveaway. If you got here on time, you increased your odds for the giveaway. Who doesn't have an ESV study Bible? All right, Steve, you got it. There you go, brother. Your hand's very obvious, too, so it makes it. Have you? That's great. I also want to, as promised, deliver more copies of the article I handed out or made available last week. I was pleasantly surprised how many people wanted a copy of this, so I've got 10 more up here. If that ended up not being enough, I'll find another way to get you more, but I've got those here. This is the one by Michael Kruger on how we got our New Testaments. So if you're interested in that, it's right there. Today, we are going to get into the Bible together. This is going to be probably the most practical of the sessions that we've had together. We're going to walk through a few different models for understanding or kind of grappling with how to just get in your Bible, something you could put into practice today. But none of these things are original to me. Everything I'm sharing are things I've received. Much of these things I have received from David Helm. In this book, we have in our bookstore, One-to-One Bible Reading. So if you're not familiar with this book or are looking for a very simple way to get going in your own private Bible reading or in Bible study with others, I don't know that you could do any better than David Helm. It's very simple, very clear, very accessible. And he gives very practical helps, not only in the model, but also just some questions to ask. One of the things I love about this is, and I've referenced we would do this today, is that it has in view not only your own personal private Bible reading, but also how you might sit down with any brother or sister or even an unbeliever over coffee or with a group of folks in your living room. And it gives you some clear handles for how to dive right into the Bible together in a setting like that. So couldn't encourage you more highly to grab a copy of One-to-One Bible Reading. And thankfully, it's cheap. It's $7. Check it out. David Helm. All right. Now, quick recap for those who were not with us in previous weeks. You might remember the first week, the fundamental point was that the Bible is truth from God for you. It is the truth of God, it's written by God, and it's not just written into the ether for no particular reason. It's given to you so that God might work in you good things. Things I think we would all say we want: endurance, hope, encouragement, wisdom. God tells us he gives us those things via his word. And so when we ignore it to our detriment. But then last week, we talked about how the Bible is fundamentally clear and understandable by anyone. Certainly not all parts of it are equally clear. There's plenty of them that make us scratch our heads and think, what in the world exactly is going on here? But the fundamental message of the Bible is clear and is attainable. God uses the normal means of understanding any written communication when he speaks to us through his own written word. It follows normal conventions for those things. And so you will read any portion of it well when you know where you are in the storyline of the Bible, when you know where it is, and when you know what it is. In other words, when you know what kind of literature it is you're reading. So like any other kind of written communication, if you were to pick up a newspaper or pick up a book of poetry, there are certain conventions for how to understand it. And if you don't know what it is you're reading, you're going to have a hard time understanding it rightly. The Bible is no different. It's an anthology of 66 books written in all kinds of different places and times and settings. And so for us to be able to understand it rightly and interpret it in ways that are helpful, we need to know where it is in the grand story of the Bible, and we need to know what kind of writing it is. Today, I want to get into, okay, what do we do now when we open our Bible to a particular passage? Most of studying the Bible is asking the text good questions. Your English teacher, your AP Lit teacher, whoever she is, will probably tell you similar things. That getting into the heart of a text and what it means starts with asking it good questions. Slowing down long enough to take the time to ask it good questions. It can be very simple. And so I just want to share a very, very simple, basic approach for even how to do this in the most basic way in your own personal time with the Lord. For me, most of the time, in-depth study is going to come in some other portion of my day. And so when I'm just spending my regular time with the Lord, the mantra I sort of have in my heart is surrender, read, respond. Surrender, read, respond. I got that from something called the Community Bible Reading Journal, if you want to look that up. But by surrender, it just means I'm coming before the Lord and kind of just opening my heart to Him in a psalmic kind of way. If you notice in the Psalms, regularly it begins with David or whoever the psalmist is just describing the state of his soul. How long, O Lord? It's kind of, Lord, I'm tired of this. Sometimes he starts off with, rejoice in the Lord always. And the tone is very, very different. Sometimes I wake up feeling one way. Sometimes I wake up feeling the other. But I start with just a reflection before the Lord of the state of my soul. And one of the reasons that helps me is it helps me to begin to engage God's word prayerfully so that I'm not just kind of standing over it with a microscope as if God is sort of under the knife and kind of ready to be dissected and sort of figured out. No, I'm opening my soul to Him as my creator, as my maker, as my redeemer, as someone I want to invite into and have speak into the realities of where my soul is at that particular time. So I want to surrender before the Lord. And then I read. What I'm reading at that particular time changes with the seasons. Sometimes I love to do a Bible in a year sort of plan. Sometimes I'll read more quickly than that. Sometimes I'll read more slowly than that. But I read whatever I've set out to read for that morning. And as I read, I'm asking two basic questions of the text. What does this say about God? And what does this say about me? Very simple. What does this say about God? And what does this say about me? One of the reasons I think it's important to ask that question, even as simple and basic as it may seem, is isn't it easy to open our Bibles and just kind of wait until we kind of get a feeling? You know, wait until there's a certain phrase that kind of captures us or stands out to us. And that can be helpful at times. But by stopping and asking, what does this say about God? I'm starting with not how I feel as I read the passage, but what God is seeking to communicate. So the starting point is Him and His word as I ask this question. And the first thing I want to know is, what does it tell me about Him? Is there something about who He is, what He's like, what He's done that's revealed to me in this passage? I need my heart oriented around who He is. And then I'll ask, what does it say about me? What does it say about people? How does that speak into my situation? Even in the psalm that I read as I prayed this morning, you could hear there's some things it says about people, about what we tend to do, where we tend to go, what we actually need, what we should actually be committed to, all kinds of things like that in the psalm. And then I'll close with responding to that, again, prayerfully. It may be as simple as the response may be as simple as thanking God for what I've seen about what it says about who he is. There may be a very clear command in that portion of scripture that I need to sort through. Okay, what does it look like for me to obey that command in my life? It may be that there's something I've learned about who God is that I have just neglected or forgotten about, or just am not keeping at the forefront of my mind, and I feel my lack in a particular area, and I'll just say, okay, I need to believe this today. I'm going to jot this down on this note card, or I may be prompted, you know what, this is a truth that I think would really minister to a friend, someone who I know is going through something right now, and my response is to pray for them, text them, and let them know. As I read this passage this morning, I felt like it might encourage them and send it to them. For me, that's a very simple, basic way to prayerfully go about your private devotional reading. But I want to share two more methods, and they'll get a bit, we'll start as more simply, and then it will get just slightly more complex or slightly more in-depth. And both of these are covered in David Helms' one-to-one Bible reading. The first one, he calls the Swedish method. That is not a form of massage. That is not a way to play a sport. I don't know where the Swedish method came from, but it's apparently rooted in a student movement in Sweden. But I want to actually lead us through doing this today. So open your Bible to Psalm 16. And if you've got a friend or a neighbor nearby you can discuss this with as we go. Even better, if not, that's okay. But we're going to pause as we go and just give you a moment to reflect on different portions of the text. So if you and I were sitting down for coffee and the goal was for us to read the Bible together, we might turn to Psalm 16. And the first thing we do is simply read it and pray. So I'm going to give you 60 seconds right now just to read through Psalm 16. And remember, you're not trying to get every line of it impressed in your mind yet. You just want to get exposed to the passage. Just read Psalm 16 quietly to yourself in the next minute. All right, now once we'd read it together, one of us would take just a moment and pray. Someone asks you to do that just silently where you sit. Just take a moment and ask the Lord to open your eyes to behold the truth in his word. All right, now we would spend a few minutes looking for three different things. And the first one, if we were sitting at a coffee shop, I might even draw this on the napkin, would be a light bulb. These are things that shine out from the text. Now, to be clear, these are not diamonds in the rough. These are not things that have, before this moment at Starbucks, have never been seen in Psalm 16 in Christian history. We're looking for the things that are plain in the text. What are the things that shine out to you in this passage? So take a minute and just read back through it again. And as you do, imagine if we were talking about this over coffee, what might you share with me as some light bulbs, some things that just shine out to you as you read the passage? I'll give you 2 minutes. All right, you got a few light bulbs? Okay, now I'm going to give you one more minute. Just turn to your neighbor and just share a light bulb or two. Okay, what's something that stood out to you from the passage you can share with somebody you're sitting near? Take a minute. All right, did you turn on all your light bulbs? A few of them at least. Okay, now, if we were sitting at coffee, we'd share our light bulbs, we'd be encouraged there for a moment. Here's some truths I saw in the passage stood out to me. Next thing we do is talk about questions. So I'd take that napkin back and I'd draw a little question mark with a circle around it. And we just share, what are some questions you have from the passage? Could it just be a word or a phrase that's not immediately clear to you? Maybe it's referring to a person or a city that you've never heard of. Maybe you don't understand the logical connection between two different ideas that are in the passage. Just something that you have a question about. So I'm going to give you 1 minute now and just go back through it and just note what are a few questions you have. What are 1 to 3 questions you have as you read the text? Take 1 minute on your own and just scan back through it again. All right, you got a question or two? Okay, now, before we go any further with questions, I want to just say one of the things that will immediately help you go deeper in your study of the Bible is if you give yourself the time to ask and seek out answers to your questions. In my experience, when we're moving quickly throughout our day or just kind of looking for that devotional nugget to kind of carry with us, we often don't just stop long enough to ask, what are questions I have about this passage and how might I go about finding some answers? So as we're continuing our conversation over coffee, we're going to talk about our questions for a couple of minutes. So I want you and your neighbor to talk here for a minute. And as you do, I want you to try to help each other. Now, nobody has to be Bible answer man. Nobody needs to feel like, they've got all the answers to the other person's questions. This is a conversation. But I want to encourage you, as you talk about what the answers to those questions might be, start in the text. I think so often people are quick to think, well, let me kind of go grab this study note, or let me shoot Robin an email, or whatever the case may be, which are wonderful resources, and we'll get there. But start with, is there anything in the passage itself that might help you out? Or are there other places in the Bible that refer to the things that you have questions about in this passage that also might help you answer those questions? And so this is where your friend can be really helpful, because they might be familiar with some passages that may speak to these things that you're not as familiar with. So turn to your neighbor and let's take 3 minutes here, 4 minutes, and just talk about your questions together and see if you might be able to help one another out. All right? 3-4 minutes on questions. Go for it. Claire is the only one that gets to ask Robin all the questions. Yeah, that's right. All right, did you get through a couple of questions at least? Good. When you start looking into this thing, there's some questions there, right? What's Sheol? It's one that often comes up. The lines that have fallen for me in pleasant places. Okay, I know I've seen that on some Christian merchandise, but what exactly is that referring to? What are these lines and these lots and this inheritance? Another set of tools I want to remind you of, in addition to looking in the text, looking at other passages of the Bible that come to bear on this text, you have an incredible resource in front of you. If you have a reference Bible, you've got cross references. I just want to commend those little teeny tiny numbers to you that most of us tend to ignore. You can follow those to the wherever in your Bible, in mine and my printed Bible, it's on the bottom, to look up other portions of Scripture that pick up similar themes or in some cases have the same text but in other contexts. That can be extremely helpful. But the other thing is asking those questions we talked about last week, where am I and what kind of literature is this? So as we read the Psalms, we have that little note at the top of Psalm 16 that this is a Psalm of David. So if David wrote this, we have some sense of the historical setting. We don't always with Psalms. But we know this came during the time of the kings. So this is after Abraham and after Moses and after the people had come into the promised land and after God had given them Saul and now they finally have King David, the Lord's anointed. So as we come to that particular place in the larger story of Scripture, and you think back on what David might be referring to, where have we seen before things like lots and lines falling in certain places and inheritance? When the people of Israel came into the promised land, they were given a certain inheritance. And what for you might be some of the most boring parts of your Bible were incredibly practical for those people. If you were being told, hey, you can build your house between this river and that set of trees and on this side of that brook and over these rocks, you would take your Bible and walk out on that property and you'd care a lot about exactly what that portion of Scripture said, right? Because that was delineating for you the inheritance of you and your family. Well, David seems to be picking up on some of that language when he talks about inheritance and lines falling in certain places. But he says, the Lord is my chosen portion. The Lord is my cup. The Lord holds my lot. In other words, when lots are drawn as to a particular decision that's to be made, the Lord is the one that holds those lots, not someone who could cheat you. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Why? Because my land is in a good spot? No, because I have the Lord. He is my chosen portion. And therefore, David says all these things about his heart being glad and his whole being rejoices. You see how it's helpful just to dig into your questions just long enough to let it bring a bit more meaning and understanding to the passage. So ask those questions, and then the third thing we'd talk about over coffee is I might pick up that napkin again and draw an arrow. Light bulb, question mark, arrow. And the arrow is just, what am I doing with this? Where am I going with it? What's the application of this portion of Scripture to my life, to maybe our relationship as we talk through this over coffee? What am I to do with it? And as I've mentioned before, it may be something about God that I've just neglected to recall about who he is that I need to recall and remember and take hold of. It may be that I have a particular action I need to do myself, but it also could relate to my callings in my family, in my church, in my workplace, in my neighborhood. And when you start to think in some of those broader categories, I think you can see how the application of Scripture can open up so that it's not always as simple as, well, I have this command, I'm to do this thing. But it is, in light of what I've learned about who God is and who he says I am, what am I to do with that in my thinking and in my living? So take a minute now, just reflect back over the passage yourself and ask, what are some ways this passage, 1 to 3 ways, this applies to my life? Take 1 minute. All right, did you get to share 1 or 2 applications? If I have cut off your discussion every time I've started talking, that's great. That means you can come back for more, right? And do this again. But you see how when you and I got to this point over our coffee and we talked through our applications, then we closed by just taking a minute or two to pray for one another, just to pray that the Lord would help each of us apply his word in the ways we've just discussed. And then we would have just had about a half hour or so of fellowship over God's word over coffee. You can do it. You really can. And I think you'd be amazed how much the Lord would use a conversation like that to not only enrich your own soul, but to deepen your fellowship with other believers as it's centered right over God's word. We have all been in fellowship context before where we kind of go round and round sharing maybe what's going on in our lives, and we sort of try to figure out something helpful to say back, and then we pray and we kind of move on to the next thing. Wouldn't it be so helpful and enriching if we were to actually center that fellowship around a time in God's word like this? I think you'd also be amazed the number of people who would take you up on an offer to read God's word like this that you may not think would do it. Unbelieving coworkers. There was a time, believe it or not, that I did not work at Covenant Life Church. And I had a few years spent in the federal government, and I got with one of my friends over lunch for several weeks, and we did something very similar to this. And it was just a very enriching time in the Word weekly together with this friend at the office. So I want to commend that to you. Before I let you go, I just want to literally take 1 minute and flesh out that slightly more developed approach. And so this one is called COMA, C-O-M-A. And if you want to go a bit deeper, maybe you're with folks who would be ready to dig a little deeper into Scripture together beyond just the Swedish method, you could give this a shot. C means context. So I like that point because it gives you an opportunity to explicitly wrestle with that issue of where am I in the story of the Bible and what kind of literature is this? What's going on here? Situate yourself in the story. What's the context? Observation of the text. So just what are some things I'm seeing here? How does the author communicate what he's saying? What imagery stands out? Are there any repeated words or themes? We're just making observations of the text together. And then the M stands for meaning. Why is this passage in the Bible? Why did God inspire this? Why is it here? What is God intending to communicate? What does he want to get done through this passage? So observation is what does it say? Meaning is what does it mean? Context, observation, meaning, and then application. As we've talked about before, what does this say I should believe or do? And what does that matter for all the different spheres of life that I'm called to in my neighborhood, in my workplace, in my family, in my church, in my own discipleship, my own heart before the Lord? I hope those tools are helpful to you. If you want to get, again, a practical way to go over these again and also get some more detailed questions that you might ask of some of the passages, this is an outstanding resource. Guys, thanks for coming bright and early. 3 weeks now on a Sunday morning. It's been so good to be with you. I appreciate your attention. I'll be around for the next 30 minutes if anybody wants to talk. Otherwise, go get some coffee, and I'll see you in here at 10:30. All right? God bless you. Yeah.